How many times we are like Peter? Jesus comes along, he wants to do something in our lives, and yet we're so stubborn, and you say, well, Jesus, you're not going to do that in my life. Jesus wanted to show Peter servanthood, brokenness, submission to the Lord. There's so many lessons here.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. It is great to have you with us today as we continue our focus on the life-changing power of Jesus' love. Today, Roel will challenge you to follow your Savior's example of selfless servanthood, giving up your personal agenda to obey God's perfect will. As you think about Jesus' startling choice to wash his disciples' feet before their final meal together, you'll see that true strength comes from humble submission to the Lord. The title of today's message is Jesus the Servant. Let's join Roel Reese now in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1.
And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And at supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel in which he was girded. Notice that. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will now after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered and said to him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Simon Peter then said, Lord, give me a bath. Notice that. Not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And then Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Speaking of Judas, who knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given to you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Notice what he's saying. So now we have Jesus in the upper room. He's going to wash the disciples' feet. He knows that next day he's going to be going to the cross. They're going to arrest him. They're going to abuse him. They're going to beat him. And then he's going to go to the cross and he's going to die for the sins of the world. So on this Wednesday, he's in the upper room and he's going to serve dinner. I remember I told you before that they have these actual tables that are recliners. They're real low to the ground. Then they put pillows so you can actually recline yourself on top of the table. You can lean. They have no napkins, or they have no forks, no spoon, no knives, but not even napkins. They have pita bread. So when they eat with their hands, after they're done, they take the pita bread, they wipe it, and they throw it out to the dogs, puppies, whatever it is, and they eat them. Can you imagine Judas being among them, and yet he was the betrayer? The betrayer among the 12. Jesus already knew it. But Jesus, like any one of us, he always gives an opportunity to repent. To repent of what we do. What we're going to do too. And when the disciples not only were on top with Jesus on this building, we see that the disciples had been arguing. If you go back and you study before this, they had been arguing who's going to be the greatest. Jesus just talked to them. He's going to the cross. I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. And they're arguing with each other who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They weren't even connected. Luke 22:24, listen. And now there was also a dispute among them, and as of which them should be the considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greater among you, let him be the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who's sitting at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. What was he telling them? It's not who's the greatest, but who's the greatest servant of all. Who is going to humble themselves and serve? Let's begin with the first point here, verse 1 and 2. The lesson of love here. He says, again, now before the feast of the Passover. Now remember, the feast of Passover, which was the first feast of Passover? Remember Exodus chapter 12. When Moses came to the Egyptians, he came to Pharaoh. And he not only gave him an opportunity to let the people go, but every time his heart was hardened. By God. The last plague that God allowed upon Pharaoh was the first one would be killed. Every firstborn child. And the way to spare your child from being killed, the Lord said, I want you to kill a lamb, take the blood, and put it on top of the doorpost, on top and on both sides of the doorpost. And when the angel of death comes by, if he sees the blood, he will pass over your child. But if the blood is not on the door, he will kill your firstborn. I love the way he says to the top of the door and on both sides, the sign of the cross. A picture of the atonement to come in the future. Jesus will become the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So this is not the feast of Passover. He goes on. And when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. So notice that Jesus also knows the time is now come. But let's go back, okay, to when they were walking to Jerusalem. How many times he told them, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. Whoosh, went over their heads. Just like so many people in the church today, they don't pay attention to what the Bible says. And Jesus already was being prepared because he never ever took a step ahead unless it was a step with the God the Father would lead him. He was on a perfect time. When he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane, remember what he does? He takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. The others are left alone. And he takes him as he's going to be praying for the Father's will. This is the place in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus takes his will and submits it to the Father. Father, not my will, but your will be done. I think that's a good picture and a good lesson for each one of us individually of submitting our will to the will of God. The disciples, instead of praying, they were sleeping. And because they slept, what happened? When Judas came with the 500, they denied the Lord and they ran. Jesus said to them when he woke up, hey, lest you enter into temptation, man, you should have been awake praying, but you have been sleeping. Sleep on. Peter, James, and John. So here Jesus is developing this whole thing about his death. He goes on. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. Until the end of time. Can you imagine what it must have been like for us to be standing there and Jesus on the cross, looking down, full of blood, where you couldn't even recognize him as a human being, with two thieves on the side, one on his left, one on his right. And the Romans cursing, making fun of him. And the Jews cursing him. And yet he had no retaliation. No retaliation. Here Jesus, the servant of all servants, says that he loves them. And he loved them to the end. And then he says in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to what? To betray him. Can you imagine walking with Jesus 3.5 years? Eating with him, sleeping with every one of those guys, traveling with them, crying with them, being victorious with them. And then all of a sudden, he's the treasurer. All the time as he was carrying the bag of money, he was taking from the treasure. He was robbing. Look again what he says. Because there's three things I saw here in verse 1 and 2. Three things of Jesus. He knew, number one, his hour had come. He knew it. Secondly, he loved his followers upon the earth for those that he was responsible for. Responsible for. And thirdly, he knew his enemy. And also, he knew that his enemy was about to strike and betray him. He knew it. Judas, what you're going to do, do it quickly. Go do what you intended to do. Fourthly, the same three things, notice, should drive each one of us to do what? To serve the Lord with a true heart, in obedience to the word of God.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take just a moment and remind you that we are here to support your spiritual growth and help you walk in close communion with the Lord Jesus. For resources, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com, where you'll find this entire 13-part series celebrating the matchless love of Jesus. Let's continue now with the final part of our study, Jesus the Servant. Here's Raul once again.
He says, secondly, verse 3 to 5, we see the lesson of humility here. Verse 3, then Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands. Notice what he says. The Father had given everything to Jesus into his hands. That he had come from God and was going back to God. He says he rose from the table, or supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had girded himself. Can you imagine what it must have been like, God washing feet? Jesus was God. 100% human, 100% God. The disciples must have been astonished, because the disciples should have been the ones washing his feet. But they didn't. They were somewhere else. Many times as the Lord speaks to our hearts, we need to be sensitive to what he wants us to do. We're always wanting him to do for us, but what do we do for him? And we're not saved by works. But the best thing that you and I can do, very simple, obey him. Love him. Worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what God desires from each one of our lives. And here is Jesus now putting aside everything. He's getting the basin of water. He's getting ready to wash feet. True servanthood. The service was royal because he was performing it as the Son of God. As the Son of God. He knew, number one, who he was. He knew who he was. Secondly, he knew his glorious person. He knew his glorious person. He knew his time was short. And then, thirdly, he still gave the most extreme demonstration of service, possible to anyone. The greatest service to anyone that we can give. Fourthly, he chose the most extreme demonstration. Notice, extreme demonstration that there is royalty in service, in ministry, to be a servant of all servants. That's what God desires from each one of us. Husbands, wives, your children, employer, employees. Being a real servant of God, not wanting anything from anybody, but to do it out of God's love, to be a witness, not preaching to them, but show your actions to them. Show them that you really love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We need, as believers, to teach our children. We need not only to teach them, but we need to teach ourselves. As we surrender, as we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Watch the third point here. The lesson of forgiveness here. Verses 6 to 11. And then Jesus came to Simon Peter. Notice his favorite disciple. He's always messing up, just like me. Always messing up. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord. Notice, Lord, curious. Are you washing my feet? He's asking the question. He's been looking at everybody washing their feet. And he says, now, Lord, are you going to wash my feet too? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you don't understand. Notice, now. But you will after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never, ever wash my feet. After Jesus told him, he says, you're not washing my feet. How many times we are like Peter? Jesus comes along. He wants to do something in our lives. And yet we're so stubborn. And you say, well, Jesus, you're not going to do that in my life. Jesus wanted to show Peter servanthood, brokenness, submission to the Lord. There's so many lessons here. And by learning to submit to the Lordship of Christ, then he quit. Whatever he wants to do in my life, Lord, here I am. Do whatever you want to do. I don't put up a wall, but the wall is taken down. Lord, here am I. Do whatever you want in my life. And here's Peter speaking out. And then Jesus said to him, he said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Notice, you have no part with me, Peter. He lays it out. Look, Peter, if I can't wash your feet, then you have nothing to do with me. And Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Give me a full shower, Lord. Here I am, Lord. What did he do? He submitted himself. And yet Peter, we don't want to get ahead, but what does Peter do? He will deny the Lord three more times. Three times. On his way to the cross. I love Peter because Peter not only messed up all the time, and the Lord not only forgave him all the time, but the love that he had for Jesus was amazing. Amazing. Here, Peter understanding that Jesus loved him. And notice, and he went to Peter and said, Peter, if I can wash your feet, I'm going to be straight with you. You have no part in the kingdom with me. You can't follow me. You'll never be with me again. And Peter didn't get scared. Peter humbled himself. He got broken and said, Lord, give me a whole bath. I don't want to be separated from you. And then he says, verse 10, he says, and then Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. What was he saying? Judas, notice, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. You are not all clean. And then we see here that before anyone can serve Jesus Christ, what do we have to do? We have to be part of Christ. Submitted. Born again of the Holy Spirit. When I submit my life to him, then he can speak to me and then he can use my life. And when he uses my life, not only do I get rewarded, But if I'm faithful in the little things, he's going to make me greater in the bigger things. Can he trust you? Can he trust you by being born again of the Holy Spirit? Can he trust you with your wife? Can he trust you with your husband? Can he trust you with your children? Can he trust you with the Word of God? If he can trust us in the little things, then he's going to give you the bigger things. He can trust you. But if he doesn't trust you, then how can he give you the things to come? He can't. And I think one of the things the church today, if you want to be trusted, then you have to be obedient to what God says. That's the first thing. Because obedience comes as we have become what? New creatures. By being born again of the Holy Spirit, therefore Paul says, if there's anyone in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. Brand new. Because of the Holy Spirit. You notice that he was washing the feet and they were cleansed. But number one, washing and cleansing, notice, are misunderstood today. Are misunderstood by people. Washing and clean have a deeper meaning than that according to the scriptures. It was requested. It was a time not only of Jesus becoming a servant, but it was the example that he was passing on to them and to us of humility and servanthood so that we can serve one another. Serving one another. Fourth point. The lesson of ministry, verses 12 to 14. Look what he says. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, sat down again, he said to them, do you guys know what I have done to you? And then he says, you call me teacher and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. The reason I did it is to demonstrate and to show you what you should do for one another. The example, who? Jesus. Teaching them to love one another, to serve one another. Remember, before that, they were arguing who's going to be the greatest of all. And here they come and they know there's no greatness. There's servanthood. We're all the same, and we serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
It's so hard to imagine the mighty Son of God kneeling to wash his disciples' dirty feet, yet this image powerfully paints a picture of intentional servanthood. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was titled, Jesus the Servant. For a donation of $5 or more, you can get an unedited version. Just call us at 800-634-9165. To further encourage you with insights into the heart of Jesus, we'd like to tell you about Rawls' entire 13-part series titled, Why the Cross Mattered and Still Does. It's available on CD and flash drive. Underscoring Jesus' sacrificial love, every lesson will inspire you to follow in his footsteps as you serve the Lord with obedience, blessing the lives of others along the way. Just visit somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' 13-message study, Why the Cross Mattered and Still Does. We'll send you the CD collection for $25 or the USB for $16. That's 800-634-9165. You're always welcome to write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese is completely listener-supported, and every donation helps us reach more people with the good news of the Lord Jesus. Thanks for your partnership. Be sure and tune in again next time for more from this faith-building series focused on the cross of Christ. Together, we'll think about the wonderful truth that Jesus' limitless love and compassion extended to all people, no matter who they are or what's in their past. Now, with the final thought, here's Raul once again.
And then fourthly, verses 15 to 17, a lesson of royalty. For I have given you what? An example. Mark that. I have given you an example that you should do. Do, underline that. As I have done to who? To you. Most assuredly, remember I told you when most assuredly, you need to pay attention. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. Notice that. Nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Did you notice that? Do them as I have done to you. So here, Jesus is coming to that conclusion in his own life and says, blessed are you if you do them. Submitting, surrendering, notice example, and in submission to Jesus Christ, becoming a servant and continue to be a servant to the Lord forever and ever and ever.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.